You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Walk along the lake with someone new. Have yourself a summer fling or two. But remember, I'm in love with you, and save your heart for me. When the summer moon is on the rise, and you're dancing under starlit skies, please don't let the stars get in your eyes. Just save your heart for me.
Keith's been wanting that one played for at least 10 minutes.
I think it's a sweet little innocent song that tells you what the culture of at least the first part of the 60s really was like, as opposed to this propaganda about turn on, tune in, and drop out and all that type of stuff. That just put that up in your Google box for YouTube and look at the video of it, and you'll see a much better society than you'll see now if you watch a music video.
Keith, I've got the latest from Paul Craig Roberts. Let's just get to that. Great guest tonight, by the way. Give me 10 seconds on Robert Wallace and Pastor Brett McAtee. Really appreciate it.
Well, Robert Wallace wants to do more than just identify that white identity is becoming a thing. He's trying to mobilize it and make it permanent and a political force to be reckoned with. And, of course, our hats are off to him for doing that. That definitely needs to be done. Then, on the other hand, Pastor McAtee gives a lot of real good practical advice about what Christians are to do when they see their church exchanging the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary, as we've said before. What can you do when they fear denominational headquarters more than they fear God? And he's not giving you a simple, just stand there and take it and go down with the ship. He gave you some good practical advice about what people in the pews can do and what pastors can do when they're confronted with this leftist pressure from the denominational headquarters. I thought it was very helpful.
All right, let's get to the latest from Paul Craig Roberts. He is always talking about wide variety of issues, and here's one of his entries. The Western Empire, or the entire Western world, rather, is a bad joke. Very quickly on this. Every government, Paul Craig Roberts writes, he's been a guest on this program, has gone insane in the Western world. The British conservatives want their own prime minister, not an opposition party's prime minister, to resign because he is suspected of having attended a party during an official lockdown. Over nothing more than this, a government is to fall. In Florida, where I live, this is Paul Craig Roberts writing, we give and attend parties wherever we wish. There are no lockdowns, no masks, no vaccine mandates. Indeed, vaccine mandates are illegal. If you believe the COVID propaganda, everyone in Florida should be dead. Instead, we're happy and normal. It is the rest of the world that is dead, afraid of its shadow, hiding in lockdown rooms with hospitals full of people dying from the vaccine. He's talking about Boris Johnson here.
Well, Boris Johnson is a typical cuck, okay? He's not as advertised. He's supposed to be the conservative savior of England after Tony Blair, but quite frankly, no nearsighted man can tell much difference in their governing styles. And furthermore, rather than kicking somebody out because they went to a party, the people that ought to, a prime minister ought to be kicked out if he is gung-ho about enforcing COVID mandates. That's where the danger to personal freedom comes from, not from people exercising their personal freedom by deciding to go to a party or not. Apparently, Boris Johnson is still standing, so he made a good decision. But, you know, you'll never get any concessions from the left about that. And you know why, James? we were talking about with Pastor McAtee. He talked about repressive tolerance. One of their other big methodologies is critical theory. Always criticize your ideological opponents. Never confess or give them credit for making a good argument. So that's what the people on the left do. It doesn't matter how many times people don't mask up and don't get the virus, the COVID virus, or how many times they get inoculated and come down with it. None of that is of any import. It's just do what I say.
I gotta tell the audience a story about Keith. You might not even remember this because it happened last year. I've never seen Keith wearing a mask. He's never seen me wearing a mask. But we do have these weekly get-togethers where we plot the course for the show each week, and we typically have them at restaurants. There was one restaurant we went to several months ago now, and we walked in, and the waitress said to you, Keith, "Sir, you're going to need to wear a mask." And you said, "Go broke," turned around, and walked out.
Yeah, you got to. You know, you got to stand up to it. You cannot let yourself be pushed around by these little Caesars that we have, self-appointed little Caesars, that now feel that they are cloaked in righteousness and holiness because they are on what they consider to be the right, which means the left, side of a political issue like COVID. COVID is a tempest in a teapot, folks, and its main purpose is to make you bend your knee.
All right. And with regards to that, Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury under Ronald Reagan, former associate editor and columnist at the Wall Street Journal, professor of economics at six universities, author of numerous books, a guest on this program. We played one of Ray Stevens' songs in the second hour with Pastor Brett. Turn your radio on. Ray Stevens, even, for God's sake, been a guest on this program. I'm telling you, you haven't arrived until you've been a guest on this program. But Paul Craig Roberts wrote a blurb, "Supreme Court delivers schizophrenic ruling." We mentioned Rich Hamblin in the last hour, another good friend of Pastor Brett's. And he was telling us last week that we missed a little bit in our coverage of the Supreme Court ruling by saying, you know, it was good that they didn't mandate these private businesses to force vaccines on people. We missed the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey might put it. Paul Craig Roberts did not. He writes, "In a schizophrenic ruling on January the 13th, the United States Supreme Court ruled against the Biden regime's COVID vaccine mandate for private businesses, but for the mandate for healthcare workers." That is something, quite rightly, that Rich points out that we should have mentioned. I was too busy looking at the one side of the coin to see the other. But there is certainly some inconsistency with that. Paul Craig Roberts writes that what we have is the complete separation of law and justice from the violation of the U.S. Constitution that requires equal treatment under law. The justices have, again, delivered an unequal treatment. And
that's part of it. Let me give you the other part of it. Basically, the Constitution says that if it's not something that is allowed to be enforced by the federal government or in their enumerated powers, they're not to do it. The 10th Amendment says that everything else falls to the states. That's the way this decision should have been decided.
Well, when we come back, what would war with Russia look like? Paul Craig Roberts writes about that. You know, I need to call Paul and get him back on the show. It'd be easier just to talk to him about what he's saying than reading what he's saying. We could just get it straight from the horse's mouth. Been a guest on our show several times. But we'll talk about that when we come back. What's going on over there?
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Dreaming, I'm always dreaming. Dreaming, love will be mine. Searching, I'm always searching. Hoping, someday I'll find someone to love me. Someone who needs me. But until then, well, I'll keep on dreaming. Keep right on dreaming. Dreaming till my dreaming comes true.
Boy, if that was all it took, I'd dream my ass off tonight. We'd wake up a better tomorrow. But that's a beautiful song.
That is Memphis's own Johnny Burnett.
All right.
He and his brother Dorsey, along with a guy that used to be a client of mine named Paul Burleson, had the rock and roll trio in the mid-50s. Then they camped out on Ricky Nelson's front doorstep to try to get an interview with him to get to be part of his band or whatever. What he did was allow Johnny and Dorsey to author basically the best rockabilly hits that Ricky Nelson had in his catalog. And then Johnny Burnett got his own chance with Liberty Records out there and had Dreamin' and You're 16, You're Beautiful in Your Mind before he was killed in a boating accident at Clear Lake in Southern California in 1964.
I know. If Keith had been paying attention to where he was going, we'd still have Johnny Burnett, but then again. all right. We've got Rich Hamblin. You mention a name often enough on this program. You summon them. And then so now we have Rich Hamblin, dear friend of ours. He was talking about, texting me about Russia. This is something, the troop movements over there. Very quickly, Rich, if I could just speed read through just a couple of excerpts of Paul Craig Roberts, one of his recent blurbs. As readers are aware, he writes, I regard Washington's refusal to accommodate Russia's security concerns as totally irresponsible. By denying security guarantees to Russia, Washington essentially told the Kremlin that Washington intends to locate nuclear missiles on Russia's borders and use color revolutionaries among former Russian provinces to destabilize the Russian Federation. In other words, Washington has shown that the U.S. represents a life-threatening hostility to Russia. Russia is not going to sit and wait for that to happen. Ukraine most certainly will not be permitted to be a member of NATO. Russia would reincorporate Ukraine into Russia rather than permit that to happen. No U.S. or NATO missile bases will be permitted in the Ukraine. Ukraine, if they are or are they put there, they will be destroyed. We're going to post. He wrote an excellent column on this singular topic. And we're going to post it all to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, next week. It's well worth a read. He goes into depth with regard to the question, what war with Russia would look like, why they are provoking it. He concludes with this: having refused Russia security, the idiot West might expect war. You were concerned about this topic as well, Rich. You're concerned about a lot of topics. You follow everything. What do you want to say about it and everything else?
Well, it's obvious, I guess, that the narrative is falling apart on the COVID and everything else. So I'm sure the administration, U.S. administration, is looking for another distraction. There's a lot of things going on here. Britain just announced an alliance with Poland and the Ukraine, a mutual defense treaty. You've got the short-lived color revolution in Kazakhstan, which the Russians were pretty quick to, you know, to send troops in and help put down. The CIA's probably got their fingerprints all over that. The CIA and the State Department are active in the Ukraine. There's a lot of, you know, the Baltic states are sending down weapons, anti-tank missiles and anti-aircraft missiles, Stingers and Javelin missiles. The Germans have put their foot down, because after all, they depend on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline for natural gas from Russia, and they're not willing to cut that bridge yet. So there's a lot of saber rattling going on. The administration in Washington is not helping matters. It's pretty amusing. Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, said after the last communication between the United States and Russia that the Russians were going to respond in comic book form, because evidently nobody in the State Department can read a plain letter. So now you got Biden and his crew looking at Great Britain, or England in particular, that just dropped the mask requirements, the vaccine passport requirements, you know, and the quarantine rules, and all that kind of stuff. Janice and I watched the YouTube live this morning of the people, a big demonstration in Paris, Gilets Jaunes out in the street again. They were doing a big march. So over here, it's just kind of like, you know, Florida's open, California's locking down. I mean, to give you an example, I've been trying to get some materials for some jobs that I'm working on in my business out of California, and nobody's working in the warehouse because they're all scared of COVID, so they're all working at home. So everything's getting delayed and everything's getting messed up. Top of that, you've got China having a zero COVID policy, so now they're getting ready to shut down things over there, and that's going to ball up the supply chain even more. And DOT just announced that they're not going to let truckers from Canada or Mexico into the United States unless they've got vaccination passports. I think things are in turmoil is the way I look at it. But I do know that there is a lot of equipment being moved around in Eastern Europe. I've watched videos of train.
Rich, did you see that thing? This is Keith. Let me just say, did you see that news yesterday that a Russian flotilla went down the English Channel of amphibious assault ships headed to the Black Sea?
Well, I didn't see that, but I did read something about some maneuvers being carried out in the Mediterranean. Maybe that's where that fleet is headed. And also you got joint operations, I think, between Iran and India and the Russian Navy. Anti-pirate activities is what they're being talked about. And of course, you know, a big overlay on all this stuff, and nobody really talks about, is the Belt and Road Initiative that's going on with China, Iran, Israel, and Russia. And that's to supplant to supplant the United States, I think, in world trade. So it's a dicey situation now.
Would that be such a good thing? Would that to be such a bad thing? You know, if we could go back to the Monroe Doctrine, I think that makes a lot more sense than trying to be the hegemon of the entire world.
Keith, you know as well as I do, we don't manufacture anything in this country.
Well, I know, but we can, and we need to get back to doing
it. If there's a war against Germany to be had, we can manufacture something.
Yeah, you know as well as I do, it will take a long time to start that stuff up because, you know, for the last 30 years, if they haven't been able to import the workers, they've been exporting the jobs. So, I mean, that's the globalist initiative.
Well, the thing is, it's got to start sometime, though, Rich.
Well, Rich, we do you a disservice because you always have so much to say and so many enlightening things to say to only have a segment. This is a score to fly by the seat of our pants tonight. It is live radio, so we do that. We got seconds remaining. Next time we have you on, it's for an hour. What do you got?
Well, I think everybody just needs to pay attention because what they're telling you is not what's really happening.
Are we going to go to war with Russia?
That's a good question.
I would be surprised, but you never know. They're pushing Putin pretty hard, and you know I'm of two schools of thought about Putin. I don't know if he's the savior of the West or not, but I do know that he is not going to put up with a NATO army on his Western border. And that's basically what
a war could be about. The only thing, though, that could save Biden's poll numbers.
Yeah, that's the only reason I can see that he'd want to have a war, you know, to basically deflect attention from his own incompetence on his domestic agenda.
But, yeah, and of course, we all know Biden's not the one calling the shots. I mean, you know, that press conference he gave a couple of days ago was just kind of embarrassing. And, you know, so he's not thinking up all this stuff. It's, you know, it's either Obama's third term or it's, you know, or the people that are pulling Obama's strings. But
this is the first president that ever broke wind in front of the English queen.
First senile one, too. But hey, Rich, we love you, buddy. Thanks for lightening the load this segment. Next time we have you on, it's got to be for much longer. And we'll do it again very soon. Rich, our good friend up in the Nashville area, and his beautiful wife as well. Great friends of our
people.
Great people, yeah. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The FDA has expanded its authorization of the antiviral drug remdesivir to some COVID-19 outpatients. The antiviral drug has been approved for patients age 12 and older who weigh at least 88 pounds with a positive COVID-19 test results. The FDA also revised the emergency use authorization for the drug to include pediatric patients under the age of 12 who are also experiencing mild symptoms. The actions will allow the patients to receive remdesivir through intravenous infusion for a total of 3 days. The FDA said, while these actions provide another treatment option to reduce risk of hospitalization, remdesivir is not a substitute for vaccination. They stressed that vaccination remains the strongest preventative measure against COVID-19. This is USA Radio News.
Well, you've heard me talk about Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and how his pillow's given me a great night's sleep. He continues to roll out new offers on his products. His latest on the towel sets. Now, towels aren't something you think about. I never knew what I was missing until I tried the towels last year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today, and trust in Mike Lindell has given you a better night's sleep. Mike's now changing the game with a 6-piece towel set, USA cotton, extremely absorbent, yet still providing that soft feel you look for in a towel. 2 bath, 2 hand towels, 2 washcloths for a limited time, $39.95. Using our promo code USA, it retails for over $100. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use this promo code USA to get this price of $39.99 on the towels, or call 1-800-951-8175.
There's an update in the case of Gabby Petito, who was found dead in September in a national park in Wyoming. The FBI office in Denver said a notebook found near the remains of Gabby Petito's boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, shows an admission by Laundrie that he was responsible for her death. Laundrie immediately became the prime suspect. His body was found in October, and authorities say he killed himself. At least one person was injured in a four-vehicle crash in Los Angeles Friday, including a vehicle driven by Arnold Schwarzenegger. The actor and former California governor wasn't injured. Details are still emerging on what caused the crash. Authorities say the impact was so severe that the airbags in Schwarzenegger's SUV were released. Police say alcohol and drugs were not involved in the collision. So far, no one has been charged in the incident. You're listening to USA Radio News.
People to move in the neighborhoods, we clean their own neighborhoods. And another thing, when you say integration, it comes under intermarriage too, right? All
right.
Been together.
Right, sure.
And I'm sure no intelligent white person watching this show, no intelligent white man in his or her right white mind want black boys and black girls marrying their white sons and daughters and in return introducing their grandchildren as half-brown, kinky-haired black people.
I wouldn't object to that.
Well, you wouldn't, but a lot of them would.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people would. No, this is the point.
What I'm trying to say is this. And you don't have it. You say you don't, but you don't have it. You really ain't going to have it. You're on the show, and you got to say that.
No, that's not true.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I don't think I'm any different from you, you see.
Yeah, we're much different.
I think society's made us different.
You know we're different. We're all together.
But society's made us different.
No, not society. God made us different.
No, we're just...
All right, let's just pause it right there. That is an incredible clip. That is an incredible thing that Jack Ryan brought. I had seen that clip before years ago. And it was certainly aware of Muhammad Ali's opinions.
Kind of puts Muhammad Ali in a different perspective, doesn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what it does is it puts Muhammad Ali
on the side
telling
of common
sense. Truth to power on racial realities than most white men today. Now, that's a three-minute clip. We only played 50 seconds of it. But, Jack, kudos to you for suggesting we bring that back to the attention of the audience tonight. This is one of the biggest sports stars of his era, really, of all time in this country.
He's supposed to be the enemy of white people, but then listen to him. I mean, he's just got abundant common sense.
I would say that he is.
I wish we had white men that would speak as clearly and as frankly and as candidly as Muhammad Ali in this interview. This was on the BBC, by the way. Go, Jack.
Right. Well, I think he is the most charismatic American or just international sports person of all time, even more than Babe Ruth. Very interesting guy. He did get into this Nation of Islam. Their headquarters was very close to where I grew up, and so he had a house that was a block away from the townhouse that I grew up in. And they had a party, Nation of Islam coming out party, when the sun was kind of coming out, and they invited my parents to that just as neighbors. And the only other white person at the whole party was Howard Cosell, and so my mom stood in line to greet and meet Muhammad Ali and said, "Hi, my name's Bessie and I'm a neighbor." And she says, "Hello, neighbor." And she thought he was the most charming, handsome person that she had ever met. And then my father just stood aside, and there was this woman, black woman, that was there and made conversation. And she was Muhammad Ali's wife. I think it was the second wife. And he thought she was a very assertive woman. She got the highest divorce settlement in the state of Illinois that ever came out of it. So Muhammad Ali, yes, he was very, a lot of people, it was the 60s and people tried to use things. He was young, he did some things, but not only was he a really good boxer, and I think he was the best boxer at the heavyweight division. There's other boxers lower, Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard, but he was just an incredibly charismatic person. And I don't think any acting movie really brings it out. I wouldn't want to see the Will Smith, but see the movie When We Were Kings, which is a documentary about Muhammad Ali when he fought George Foreman, who I think is the best heavyweight of all time. And Muhammad Ali upset him in Zaire, Africa. You can just get that personality out. But he was sensible later on. He grew out. The leftists tried to use him against the anti-war and the racists, but he was in that Nation of Islam, Malcolm X, which was separatist, racial separatists, which is to say, hey, they need to do their own thing. We need their own thing. And so he was against integration and definitely against miscegenation. And Muhammad Ali just destroyed this liberal BBC guy. He just did. So this is the one I'm trying to do, is that our enemies and adversaries are really using national holidays to attack us and replace our national holidays with with Kwanzaa, Juneteenth, Native Indigenous Peoples Day for Columbus Day. So I think we should go with the idea instead of MLK Day, you should have Muhammad Ali's day, and his birthday was just 2 days before Martin Luther King's
day. I will say this. We need no black savior. We can do the job ourselves. You know, we do interview people like Jesse Lee Peterson. Jesse Lee Peterson's a great guy. I appeared on CNN with him. He's been on the show many times. We will always – look, this is the problem that the Tea Party gets into. A message can't be officially sanctioned unless a black sanctioned or a non-white
sanctioned. An idea is not validated unless a POC comes out and says it, and then you can jump on the bandwagon.
That's right. And, you know, you can't – it can't be right unless you – we don't get into that, but what I will say is – If you do have honest black people out there that are willing to assist you, you'd be irresponsible not to accept the help. Now, I don't think we need a Muhammad Ali Day. We need more white holidays. I will hope that white people at some point going forward will be as honest as he was in this, and there's something to be taken.
Ali was not trying to curry favor with whites or to support a white argument. He was just saying, this is the reality. He said, society didn't make us different. God made us different. You know, what a refreshing insight from a public person today.
Absolutely. And then later on in life, he said a lot of sensible things. He was anti-American earlier on. I mean, he was a young guy. He was very bright, but he was just a very, he didn't learn to read until he was about 30 years old. So how do you like to teach a whole classroom full of really opinionated Muhammad Ali? That's like what I was trying to do when I was teaching in Brooklyn. It's very tough to keep order when you've got these guys with all this attitude, and they're doing rhymes and stuff like that. But the boxing world was a very, very rough world. It was dominated by organized crime. And then this terrible promoter, Don King, he was extremely racist, and not in a positive way like Malcolm X or Muhammad Ali, but just a real racist. He was a gangster. He beat up and killed someone in a numbers one in Ohio. So they dominated the American boxing or the world boxing industry for a very long time. So that, I'm a big follower of boxing, and I've noticed that British and European white boxers have done very, very well the last 25 years. But we haven't had any white Americans, almost none. It's because the American boxing world is dominated by black and also this J people, and they just don't give white
boxers. You never see it
anymore,
Jack, on ESPN or something. If you see anything on boxing, it's a retrospective on Muhammad Ali or some other historical figure.
Well, we can't
When Eastern Europeans started dominating the upper weight divisions, they dropped them like a bad habit at ESPN.
Well, they have it, but we shouldn't rely on the J or anti-white media to tell us what we're going to watch. So the in about a week, the Winter Olympics are coming up, and there's all kinds of great sports, heroes, figure skaters. I love the biathlon, where these really good-looking European women cross-country ski, and then they shoot the guns in target practice. And wow, man, if I was going up to them in the military, I'd surrender. I would just say, hey, have me in.
Well, let me tell you, I've got a great idea for the Winter Olympics, Jack. Here's what we need to do for the Winter Olympics. Right. We need to get some hockey players boxing and fighting. You know, that'll be the a new separate sport, hockey.
Well, they should have two seasons. They say play hockey, and then they box afterwards. But the Olympic hockey, it's so good. Every game is very important. So when Sweden plays Russia, the entire country of Sweden is watching that. And so I'm trying to build peace and better relations between various European white countries. This whole thing with Ukraine and Russia is really getting freaking out of control. But why not have Germany and Austria play Russia in hockey in Stalingrad? And for the first time,
you know,
I think
we love it down here in the South, Jack. And the reason we love it is because of the fight. Somebody said, the joke is, I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out.
But you can just watch the sport, and you just got to promote it. Hockey does very well in Dallas, in Nashville. And why not have SEC hockey instead of just football, basketball, football? I mean, I know you remember when SEC football was Archie Manning and the Ole Miss Rebels. Well, it just hasn't been that way for a long time. So you could do college hockey. I was in Savannah, Georgia, and they had club hockey of the SEC teams. It was an official sport, but we can promote European sports, and ice hockey is just a good sport.
Of course, Title IX is the reason why that won't happen. Title IX of the 64 Civil Rights Act.
Well, I don't know. I think that, I mean, we're going to be, let's just promote the Olympics, and there's I was root in the Winter Olympics for the figure skaters that I might suspect might just possibly be heterosexual. If there's a heterosexual ice skater in the Winter Olympics, I'm going to support
it. I think that Jack is holding out for mud wrestling to be an Olympic sport.
You know, I wait 2.5 hours to get Jack on, so I'm going to have a laugh every night while I go to work. But we get all the serious stuff out of the way, and then Jack can sit us home with a smile.
You should smile. We tell a joke. I mean, if you can't take if you can't tell a joke and enjoy life, what's the point of being alive? And I think these woke political people, sometimes I feel they have less sense of humor than the Taliban. They're just so uptight.
Yeah, they are. They're humorless.
Yeah, they're just totally. And humor is just a great weapon. It keeps you sane. And that's why I try to promote my comics that I did with Farstar. I've gotten good reviews, but I've gotten no one that will publish them.
Well, that was something that Bob Whitaker always said, that the biggest weapon that we had is mockery. The left hates to be mocked. They have to be taken seriously. And if you don't take them seriously, they wilter and they will.
They will jump the tracks.
They will have some unforced errors that they will commit. So a lot of truth in that. We'll be back. One more segment to wrap up the show. Great show tonight. Robert Wallace. Pastor Brett Mack, Jack Ryan.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
This here's a story
Now, that is a rare gem that you wouldn't find anywhere except for in the
Library of Jack Ryan.
That's right. As Rick from South Brooklyn reminds us, Muhammad Ali, or Cassius Clay, if you want to use his birth name, got his shtick from the wrestler Gorgeous George. That's where he
That's
got
right.
the eyes the prettiest line. And I'm sure Jack knew that. Jack,
I knew that too. And the thing is, he said about Gorgeous George, he said everybody hated him, but they sure would buy tickets to go watch him wrestle. And so that's what he wanted for his boxing matches.
Rick from South Brooklyn. You bet, Rick. Of course, Jack, when we were together in South Carolina last summer.
Yeah.
But in fact, me, you, and Rick went out to have brunch the Sunday after the big show there. That was a lot of fun. But Rick is also sharing with us that with regard to something we covered earlier this hour, the British government was ready to fall on its sword over the fact that Boris Johnson went to a party without a mask. But Rick puts it into perspective by writing, Boris Johnson attended a party when citizens were not allowed to visit dying relatives, and the Conservative Party attendees were laughing about the lockdown. So to hell with them all. And by the way, it came out that the elite in 10 Downing Street were partying throughout the lockdown from the earliest days of the hoax. So that's interesting. Very interesting.
Yes.
And he should mention, he mentioned one more thing. He mentioned one more thing I should say, and that is that Ali did retract those ideas publicly that we shared earlier with you years later. I, you know, look, the
every so did George Wallace, you know.
I would believe that Cassius Clay was speaking his mind most freely and most honestly back in the 70s when you could do so without fear of losing whatever nest egg you had built up. But anyway, hey, Jack, back to you on that. And also, let's talk about book and movie recommendations for the week, can we?
Okay, so my book and movie relations recommendations are very related to the honest Muhammad Ali ones. My book recommendation is Out of America, A Black Man Confronts Africa by Keith Richberg. And then my movie recommendation is the documentary of Ali's fight with the great George Foreman in Zaire, Africa, when we were kings. And everyone pretty much thought that Ali did not have
any chance. Is that Rumble in the Jungle?
Yeah, he didn't have any chance. He was past his prime, and just Foreman was just so dominating. I think he was the most, the one at its best was the most, he destroyed Joe Frazier. He was just incredible. But
he
it
had
was
the thrill from Manila now. That was a great fight.
Yeah.
And,
there were so many great fighters in the 70s. But it's a collection of a boxer can outlast like a fighter, and Foreman had never gone many rounds. He'd always beat people up in the first or second round, and he tired him. But it was a weird place in the middle of Zaire, Africa. But you can just see that documentary, and you can just see how charismatic and charming Ali is. So I wouldn't want to see some movie with Will Smith playing Ali or something like that. The book.
I think we actually had that movie, did we not? Well, I think Will Smith.
I'm holding
out
for Spike Lee to be the guy playing Muhammad Ali.
Will Smith did play
Good Lord.
Ali. Now, let's see here. You know, George Foreman parlayed all that into the Foreman Grills. He had a commercial enterprise after the fact, but. To me,
but he also
came
out of retirement.
The Mike Tite.
Yeah, but Foreman actually regained the heavyweight championship when he was about 45.
Oh, that's interesting. I came of age during the Mike Tyson heavyweight era.
Right.
Who would you say was more entertaining, Tyson or Ali?
Well, they were both entertaining, I mean, in certain ways. But Mike Tyson...
He was inadvertently entertaining, I think.
Right,
just
but
the
he
screw-ups.
Was... He is... Because I have lots and lots of experience with Black urban America, both in Chicago, and then Brooklyn. I was teaching in Brooklyn and there. So Mike Tyson is. There's a lot of like urban Black guys that are just real a lot of fun when they're 5 years old, and they're just kind of reckless and fun and stuff. But Mike Tyson is like emotionally a 5 year old in this just killer big body, and he's just he's destructive, and then. But he got adopted. He got saved. He'd have been dead. He wouldn't have lasted on the streets of Brownsville. He got adopted by this really nice Italian-American boxing trainer Gus D'Amato and got him out and got out of there. So you had to have someone to look after this person because they don't have families and they're just left to the streets. And he was just having this incredible street life. I recommend a second book, which is Man Child in the Promised Land by Claude Brown, which is just everything bad and deviant some really smart black kid could do in New York City. He just did. And he went to reform school and things like that. But it worked out okay. And then the boxing world kind of saved him. And now he's doing... Mike Tyson seems to be doing really, really well. He has some children, and he's well-liked. He's protected. He's out of the spell of that horrible Don King. Don King is like the devil. I mean, I would just describe him like with George. If there's a couple people I just think are like the devil or the child of the devil, I'd say George Soros and Don King. Anything they touch, they try. They're evil. So Mike Tyson is out of the clutches of Don King, and he does commentary, and he seems to be healthy. He's got some children that he likes, and he's that seems okay. But he's just a destructive terrorist person. You cannot allow a person like that just to do whatever they want.
Wait, I mean, look. He's obviously mentally ill. I mean, very severely mentally ill on some level, or just didn't develop. I mean, something's obviously wrong with him. But hey, let me ask you this, Jack. You mentioned Chicago.
Right.
Winter finally descended upon Dixieland over the course of the last few days. I believe it was about 20 degrees outside when we came into the studio tonight. And
now
I
you guys
know.
You're
That's right. I was going to say, I know.
Damn it's, right.
I know it's whipping up on the waters of Lake Michigan right now. Yeah. How are you feeling tonight up in the greater Chicagoland area, Jack?
I actually like a brutal cold. It cleans out the city.
I like it. I'm not complaining. I just
not
said
me. I'm a true Southerner. I believe that heat is uncomfortable, but cold is life threatening.
No. I love the cold. I wasn't complaining. I just said it had arrived. But you it is colder where you are than us, as a matter of fact.
No, it is. I like to mess with the leftists when I say, "Oh, looks like we got global warming now in Chicago, and it's negative 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Lake Michigan is frozen over." You know, it's those idiot lying leftists. They don't say global warming anymore. They say climate change. You know, and so I say, yeah, we got climate change in Chicago. It's called seasons. There's wet spring, there's summer, hot summer, nice fall, and then winter, and it's freaking cold. It's freaking hell. You protest global warming in Chicago in late January, you're going to freeze to death. And then you go to St. Peter and try to say, well, how did you die? Well, I was protesting global warming in Chicago and late January, and I froze to death. I'm like, you go to hell. You know, I'm sorry. You go to freaking hell. Yeah. No, it's nice. It used to clean up the city. Crime used to go way down, but now our criminals they've adapted. They can carjack, rob, kill people in any season. They're like cockroaches that survived the nuclear war. They've adapted. It's stressful.
Well, I've got an acid test for determining whether a particular proposal on any public subject is right or wrong. What do the liberals say? If the liberals say that global warming is real, then you know it's false.
Well, I take a different view. I like that my favorite American Renaissance article is "Don't Write Off the Liberals," because there's a lot of things from a liberal perspective that just make more sense. So I'm for birth control, immigration control, gun control in cities.
Look, liberalism is a modern face of evil, and liberals are dumb people that are trying to raise their IQ in the minds of other people by taking a liberal viewpoint on every issue.
Well, and sometimes good issues have been ceded to the left, like so-called environmentalism. Now, there's a balance.
Environmentalism
in anything,
was our side. Teddy Roosevelt, who started the National Park System. And that we prefer nature and good animals to bad people. So I like the beautiful African lions and the elephants more than I like Idi Amin and Robert Mugabe. Okay, I mean, so that's a liberal perspective, but I have no count. Yeah.
No, that's not a liberal perspective. That is
it has been in the
I like
modern
the
day
wolves.
Parlance.
Wolves are sacred.
Conservatives
are equated to you want to rape the environment, you want to log, you want to.
Yes. If I can make more money on it, then that's what I want to do. Let the Chamber of Commerce Republicans determine.
That's the thing. This whole issue of environmentalism. We need to be good stewards of our natural resources, and that is not a liberal issue, or it has become one, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, so the action or anything that liberals are for, I mean, Ted Turner did a lot of good stuff. He was the only white Gentile that owned a television news network, and we lost him that over there.
I saw Ted Turner leading the Hundley parade in the Hundley funeral in Charleston, South Carolina. I was there. 2004, what a year. Started the show that year. We'll be back. Next week. We
have a great
surprise
week,
next week. Love you, Jack. Thank you to our guests, Robert Wallace and Rich Hamblin and Pastor Brett. Jack, always love you, buddy. I'll talk to you this week. Next week, big surprise. Big surprise next week on the show, so don't miss it. Look forward to delivering it to you. For Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. Good night. Godspeed. Okay.